Welcome back to the Summer Miles Podcast, episode 20. Thanks for tuning in, whether it be your 20th episode or your first episode, or maybe even your second. You're tuning in this year for the new season of the 2018 Summer Miles, and we are happy to have you. My name is Pat Price. I'm here with my co-host, Sandy Roberts. Say hello.
Hello, family.
We are excited to bring a great interview to you today from meet director of the Portland Track Festival, Mr. Craig Rice. He is putting on his meet this weekend. He, as in just him, no, it's a huge group of folks putting on an exciting meet. If you got Flow Track, tune in and watch it. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of big names, and a lot of fun events too, which is what gets Sandy and I really excited to see some outside-the-box thinking. But before we get to that, we certainly want to recap that first night of the Pop-Up Miles. What a beautiful night at Cary Academy. What do you think, Sandy?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, for a Tuesday in June, to have weather that was that cool. I think it was low 80s, little cloud cover. Beautiful track on a beautiful campus. You cannot ask for anything more. And I believe that's why we had our largest, you know, participant and spectator turnout to date. With, we have signed in right at close to 100 runners.
Oh yeah,
probably with some folks who didn't sign in, and then maybe another 100 folks watching. So it was an awesome night. I tell you, it got me excited for that was our first one for what their fourth summer of our Pop-Up Miles will be. And we had some great performances. Obviously, it was cool to have the Cary Imps with Jerry Dodson out there. He brought some guys out there. And I tell you, we had some fast runners in the mile, Pat.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, I was looking at it earlier, just some rough stats. And I know we had 10 guys under 440, and we had 26 guys under 5 minutes.
Goodness.
So, you know, we had 86 finishers. And when we say finishers, there were more than 86. There were probably close to 100, but there's always those few people who didn't run their PR and they decide to not sign out and just ghost it. If you want to do that, that's cool. But, you know, you're not going to run a PR every day. You know, some days are good, some days are bad, and some days it rains.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to see Aaron Clark of the Raleigh Distance Project take the female win in that faster mile with a 5:14, which I believe was a solid PR for her.
Yeah, I know she just ran under 18 minutes in the Nashville or Music City Distance Carnival, which was a big PR. So she's just stacking them up right now. So congrats to Aaron in the Raleigh Distance Project. I know Rita took that win in the 5K running 1837.
I think Sarah Rapp might have been ahead, but Sarah didn't. She didn't put her name down, so we don't have it. But Jeremy Brown from UNC had come up and had come out to kind of tempo and ran a 16:28. He obviously looked great. Good to have a Tar Heel out there. And of course, Wade Miller, who came back from, I believe, a 4:38 mile with a 16:55K. So great night for him as well.
Yeah, and that 5 minute rest, that's a nice little workout for you.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, got to have a shout out to one of our participants from really year one. That's Keith Ferguson, celebrating a birthday on Tuesday, plus ran a 19 minute 5K after what I believe to be a marathon weekend.
A PR marathon for Keith. So shout out to Mr. Keith Ferguson. Just cruising up and down the East Coast, just getting those miles in.
Absolutely. And then, of course, as you guys know, most nights we will finish with the 4x4, which is one of a staple events for the Sir Walter Miler. And Pat, how many teams do you remember seeing on that line last night?
We had at least 15. We almost ran out of batons. So next week when we run that 4x8 at Ravenscroft, the bar's been set.
Yeah, exactly. In that winning time, I believe some of the Cary guys came back after their mile. Was it 3:42?
Yeah. So they were moving, yeah.
But again, on the whole, just an incredible night. We're getting great feedback just from folks coming out. And I think without question that as we bring back the mile, people love just to get out on a track, especially ones that normally you don't have access to. And so it's fun to get out there. And of course, we love putting it on. Shout out to also our stout crew of interns, 12 in total, although not all present, but we had a good number there, really making the event or the pop-up what it was. And I want to go ahead and push people to read our recap right, Pat? We have a recap of the night.
We do, yeah. Mr. Cole Barnhill is a writer for the UNC Sports Information over at Carolina, and so he wrote us a very professional yet creative recap of the night. We had Tommy Johnson, who is doing some stats for us. He cranked out all those results. So I was able to tend to my family and my child. We were able to get these things online with the quickness. So shout out to Tommy. Shout out to everybody else there. If you see these folks signing you in, say hi. These are folks that are fans of the sport. They're fans of what you guys are doing. And, you know, they love running. So we're hoping to groom them for when Sandy and I can't do it anymore one day.
Oh, please don't even go there. But yeah, and also, you know, one more person. Andy Pierce did a great video that you've probably seen on our social media outlets. So shout out to her, kind of encapsulating what the pop-up mile is and what it will be as we continue into this summer. Crazy to think that was only week one, but as you guys know, time does fly when it comes to the pop-up. So let's go ahead and jump into what will be week two. Pat, where will we be?
Week two, we are going to be at the home of the Ravens, Ravenscroft School. That's so Raven. Quote the Raven. Screwed that up. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
That's so Raven. You heard it first here. Pat Price, always up on that DCOM, Disney Channel original movies or series, if you're into that. But it's going to be an awesome night. We, and I'm trying to jog my memory here, have we been at Ravenscroft every year since year one?
They have been very good to us. Maybe it's because my wife went to school there and they feel bad. Maybe because they just want to see some runners out in North Raleigh, and we're happy to roll up to the 27615.
Absolutely. Mike McConaughey, who is the track coach over there, has always been very gracious to get us access, so we thank him. You know, in terms of every week, we do have a sponsor, and next week, Todd Griffin with the North Raleigh Family Eye Care is going to be sponsoring that pop-up next week.
Fair to say the official optometrist of the whole Sir Walter Running Collective.
Absolutely. Guys, go out North Raleigh off Durant Road and visit him. They are incredible. They have been supporting the running community, in particular Sir Walter, for the past few years. So we're grateful for him. I think he's still on his quest to run a marathon in every state by a certain age, I believe.
I think he runs a marathon every week. Weekend. So he's probably going to be at the meet next week, but if he's not and he's in like Tucson running a marathon, you'll know why.
You'll know why. But you know, one of the cool things about Ravenscroft, which I think we've been very true to, is that we always have a 400, and that'll be, as you can see, one of our bonus events too. So this is the one time where we go down in distance where you can rock out on that one lapper.
Make sure you stretch.
Yeah, people are going to get injured. There's no question. There's going to be a hammy that's going in that first two.
If you plan to run the 400, you better sign that waiver.
Pat, I believe a couple years ago there was a guy who went to Ravenscroft who was at Brown and came out and ran, I want to say, right at a 50 flat, maybe a 49.
Sub-50. Yeah.
49.
If you go back to the archives, there is video of that. Max, I forget his last name, but dude was flying around that track. Definitely a pop-up miles record, so bring your 49 speed to the track on Tuesday. If you don't want to run the 400, we got the mile again, 5:30 and over at 7, 5:29 and under at 7:10, and then, of course, after that, we got the 4x8 this week, so you got two laps in you. It's going to be another fun night.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat, what are the chances that we, with our intern crew, get them putting together three teams for 4x8 and stick them on the line last minute?
Hey, if you guys want to see our interns run, just let us know. summermiles@gmail.com. I like them doing other things, but Sandy's really wanting them to run, so get spiked up.
We need some bragging rights, you know, for our meetings every week. We need to create a pecking order, and that's going to be a part. But guys, we're excited to see you for week two. Again, coming off a great first week, we expect nothing less than another rousing night of fast races, just an electric time at the track. I'm going to go on the limb and think and say it's probably going to be a little bit warmer, so make sure you hydrate well. And speaking of hydration, Pat, we did have a
hoist,
which is a hydration drink.
Yeah, it's somewhere along the lines of like a Gatorade slash, what were we talking about?
You said an adult Pedialyte.
Yes, there we go. So certainly when it's hot, a great thing to try. I know they've got it at stores around town. You might see them at the Downhill Mile next Friday, and we are going to talk about that next because we, of course, will drop an episode next Friday, but that is race day. So if you have run this before, you know you're about to go really fast. If you hadn't run this before, sign up, RaleighRundown.com. We are, we have more entries than we've ever had before. We're excited to bring Bandwidth on board this year. They've got some surprises in store, and we're going to have a great party at Trophy afterwards. Sandy, tell us a little bit. I know we talked about it last week, but what is that downhill mile going to look like in terms of the course? Like, you know, what's the start? What's the finish? You know.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with Centennial Parkway, I think the term I used was bucolic, and I'm going to stick with that. Kind of a countryside feel here, though, in the heart of Raleigh. Really, just for landmark, starts at the top of Centennial Parkway, fairly close to where the new Catholic Church is. At the top of the hill, and you basically run a mile with a steady incline down. You know, it's not screaming. It's a steady decline. I think a drop of approximately 150 feet. And then you finish basically right near the entrance to the farmers market, the state farmers market.
Master Market.
Yeah, so Master Market, as we've said, but it's rolling, or it's not rolling. It's a gentle rolling downhill the whole time.
Yeah, there's no uphill.
There's no uphill, and it's meant to get you a PR. Again, we've heard anywhere from 15. I've heard someone go as far as say they thought they PR'd by 30 seconds from where they thought they were. So depending on what you're running, this is one of those races where you finish and you are pleasantly surprised at, you know, how fast your legs took you down a hill. Now, again, people are going to say, oh my gosh, it was downhill. But as Pat Price reminded me after my fastest downhill mile, your legs still took you 1 mile at that pace. So
it still answers the question at a party, what's the fastest mile you've ever run?
Absolutely. This counts.
There's no where was it. If somebody asked you at a party, was it fully automated, timed on a track, then you have too many runner friends.
That's absolutely right. But the question will be, how fast have you actually run a mile? And this is the race where you can easily drop, man, I didn't think I could run that fast, but holy cow, I did.
And you know what this is going to get you in shape for, Sandy?
Absolutely. That will be the session of the Speedway.
This race is going to be legit. We are getting details together. Just bring the right attitude out here. If you're going to run, it's going to be fun. Get those four events in. You can do the mile only if you want, but why stop at the mile? Do all four. Be the ultimate runner of Raleigh-ish standards.
Absolutely. And make sure, we got some fun things lined up for that night, beverages included. And make sure that, as always, because we're at the Speedway, wear denim. Even if you're not going to race in it, if you're coming to spectate, please just rock out head to toe in denim. If you're even if you're running, we're going to ask, hey, just go ahead and warm up in some denim or cool down. You know, why not? And, you know, obviously our partnership with Raleigh Denim, with this, we're really excited to have Victor and crew out there. So expect some excitement at the Speedway, Americana at its finest, robed in denim.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you to cut off your Raleigh denims. That's a dangerous move.
No.
But Raleigh Denim is having their sale right now, so get on their website, get some swag. We love Raleigh Denim.
Last call on there, and actually, I think it's 40%
off. That's what I'm saying. If you have any you don't want anymore, you can put them in the donation box, and Sandy and I will happily wear them too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what we got coming down the pipe here. Again, we're excited for this summer. Already getting some great feedback after night one and looking forward to what's in store. As you guys know, June is our month to get you involved. Again, you know, the big thing on August 3rd, a lot of times that's more centered on the elites. Of course, there are the relays, but it really is the elite races. But we get to come out and be the elites during the month of June. So come on out. Everyone is welcome. Inclusivity is the name of the game for the Sir Walter team.
That's right, y'all. That in mind, if you have the time, please go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. It helps the podcast. If you have a sponsor in mind for us, hit us up at summermiles@gmail.com. We're excited to grow this thing, and we're excited to talk next to Mr. Craig Rice. We will talk about, of course, the Portland Track Festival, and then the post-run polo brand that Sandy and I are kind of getting off the ground, that the Portland Track Festival Innovation Product, Portland Track Festival Innovation Project got us started on, and we will talk a little bit more about that after the interview, so stay tuned.
Well, I don't care anymore for who was right, who was wrong, who was left.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're excited to welcome to the podcast from Portland, Oregon, Mr. Craig Rice. Craig, how you doing today?
Oh, we're doing well. It's a beautiful day in Portland. The weather looks good for a track meet as it does next June. So we're excited.
Yeah, the weather this time of year seems to always be pretty good. Every time I come out there during June, July, even in May, it's nice. What's up with the bad rap? I feel like I've only come out to Oregon a couple times when it's really rained.
Oh, the that is the weather. That's a typical weather from about Halloween until 4th of July. Someone told me when I first moved here that the 5th of July is when the good weather starts, and they were spot on, and I've never forgotten that. But yeah, until July, we do have warm weather between those dates. We get a typical summer, not quite the humidity, but right up until July 4th, it is, low humidity, temperatures in the 60s, and then, so with an evening track meet, makes it really conducive to fast times if you're looking at either for nationals or trying to qualify for nationals like a lot of our athletes are. You don't have to deal with humidity or the risk of thunderstorms and that kind of thing. So it makes it a pretty reliable conditions for athletes.
There you go. There's your travel condition update for Oregon. If you ever want to visit there, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Craig is here. Sandy, good to have you on. I know, really after our first Sir Walter, you came to town. I think it was you might have been dropping Paige off at Duke and or visiting. And
right.
We sat down and meet, and we've always kind of considered y'all a sister me on the other side. But you guys started before we did. What was kind of behind the founding of the Portland Track Festival?
It was just first, the reason of a meet was just a sense of duty. We were a club team. We were going to different meets around the area, and the format was just generally that local teams would host this kind of round robin, these meets. And so it seemed like our time. And we didn't want to have just kind of standard meet with all the events and all that. So we wanted to focus it and make it more interesting. So we gathered up, we kind of let the club portion of the meet be the base of the meet, but then we added on some prize money races for 5,000s. That was the first prize money race since Oregon Track Classic ended in about 2004, I think, was their last meet. So we offered that. We wanted to get the aim there was more modest. It was like, let's get all the road racers, let's get all the kind of the adult road racing scene, just come out to the track and see how fast we could go. We also had there was a person interested in a Masters Mile, so we brought in a guy that was really in the Masters Mile scene, men's Masters scene. He recruited a bunch of top athletes, and we had brought that into the meet. There's another person that wanted a. I was trying to get a 4x800 relay off the ground in the state of Oregon. We don't have a 4x8 as part of the state championship scene, so he wanted to bring that in. So we just, and that's one way that's kind of one of the themes throughout the years is to find someone who would champion a great race. If that interest was in the Masters Mile or a high school mile or whatever it is, if we could find someone that could champion and bring in a good field, we wanted to focus. We wanted to, showcase that. So that's been kind of a template for us, is to kind of limit the schedule, focus it on those interesting races that we can make, have tight fields and, just good races. People like to see racing. Times are great. People also like racing. So we're fun to focus on that.
Sure.
It's been successful for us.
Well, I do thank you. People who've listened to this podcast might remember when we did the Raleigh versus Durham Mile Challenge a couple years ago at Sir Walter, when we had a race that people just weren't buying into. Aside, of course, people like the elite races and they like the relays, but we were looking for another race, and I ran into you at the Olympic Trials, and you reminded me about the Seattle-Portland 3K that y'all do, and we just switched it up and went that way, and it was a success, so thanks for doing that.
Oh, yeah. That has been surprisingly one of the highlights. We're expanding it this year, by the way. We're bringing in Vancouver, B.C.,
uh-oh.
So it's going to be, and we're bringing in. It's been a men's only race. It's going to be a co-ed race this year, so it's going to be pretty crazy with two different same start line, different times. Women will start in about a minute ahead of the men, and then sort of all time out. I do give credit to I think it was a Track Talent series that used that format last year, and so we'll use that format, expand the race to Vancouver. And so, people get into what makes that race popular is that there's a natural rivalry just like Raleigh-Durham, there's a natural rivalry between Seattle-Portland. People in Seattle probably don't even notice the rivalry that, you know, they're that big. But to us, to the smaller city, it's always that way. Anyway, so we got the, you know, that built-in kind of rivalry, and then no one thinks bad of Canada, but Vancouver, BC is another of the cities. You know, that's the next one, the next logical. And then who knows? Maybe we expand south to San Francisco or east to Spokane. But if people get into, you know, it's a simple thing to read. I'm going to root for my team or the other team. I'm rooting for white versus blue rather than your typical, you know, race. You've got every color under the rainbow there. But it's just to bring their storylines down to simple white versus blue.
And yeah.
If I can gauge more white shirts in front of blue, I'm happy or yeah. not. Really yeah. simple.
Craig, one of the things, too, is that just kind of look, you know, that we try to model our race here after, and I know y'all have done well, is this idea of sustainability. You know, there's some races that will come and go depending on having, you know, big fields or really having, you know, big budgets. But it seems like you've been able to, with what you said, find people who champion races, and that creates sustainability for putting this meet on for some time. In particular, there was one thing I saw that you've done for some time, the middle school race, like, you know, another barrier sub five for girls went under the 1500 meters and then guys went under the mile. What I'm particularly interested in, because I think that's something that year in, year out, you can always get middle schoolers out. Speak to not only that middle school race, but how you've tried to create sustainability within this meet from the when it's located after NCAAs to just even the unique races that y'all put on.
Yeah, so having local races, one of, you know, we've stated our purpose in our bylaws to be bringing great athletes, I can't remember the phrasing exactly, but bringing the best competition to Oregon for the benefit of Oregon athletes. So that's, you know, it's a service not only to Oregon, but to the region. You have a lot of different training clubs here. We've got the elite clubs, of course, with Nike, but we also have a lot of other athletes, including, you know, that very first middle school mile that you talked about was, you know, an outgrowth of our club having some top talent. We thought they only get to see the top talent when they get to nationals, you know, so you have to go through this long process, the big meets, great expense. We've got all these great athletes here. Why don't we just harness it a little bit? So in that first year, we had access to some of the top middle school athletes in the USATF Club Series, and, you know, just got on the phone and said, hey, why don't you guys come on down? Because we would only see our local teams. They were very grassroots-based. Then the next year that turned into, we had a couple great Oregon High School, Portland High School milers, Elijah Greer and Nate Bonney, and had access to a few other people. But I got on the phone and just talked to Robbie Andrews' dad, and I talked to Trevor Dunbar's dad. And we got, you know, the top athletes for the purpose of bringing this elite high school mile for our local kids. Anyway, so that's sort of been a theme, and it's been a purpose in the direction. I think some of the sustainability is not getting too big, you know, don't try to choose too much. You know, there's, you know, financially, just try to stay in the black. And just to do things that aren't, we could maybe shoot with the right resources, you could shoot a little higher, but then when those resources go away, I think that was a story with the Oregon Track Classic, which was a meet that ran here from the 90s to early 2000s. And once, you know, they built a sponsorship with Adidas, and then it changed. Adidas moved the meet to LA, and the meet that was the Oregon Track Classic, that was credit to Paul Banta for building that race up, that meet up to such a big thing. But once the sponsorship changed, then the meet either had to go, you know, go backward and get smaller, or go away, which is what ended up happening to it. Anyway, so I think we just try to keep within our means.
For sure. And that's something that, of course, Sandy and Logan and I talk about all the time, because it's easy to continue, you know, growing every year and try to beef up the prize money and try to, you know, make the best and biggest races possible and add things. But, you know, if you're relying upon a few big donors and one of those goes away, you're right. What do? Do you go backwards, or do you just kind of fake it? And so I think when you have those I know your group, the Portland Track group, has ideals and things that y'all stuck to. It really tends to work out to have that long-term vision. And speaking of, one thing we wanted to talk about that we've been a part of is the Innovation Project. This was something that we talked to you and Paige about earlier in the year, and you allowed Sandy to dig into our inner fashion designer and talk to some folks out in Portland that work in the business, and of course, source some material and work with some North Carolina designers and crafters, and we were able to make this post-run polo. So we're unveiling this. You will have these in the mail on Friday. We'll have about 15 of them to do what you want with, and the other part of that is, you know, I just want to hear where this came from, you know, some of the other projects you're excited about. But Sandy and I absolutely love this. I know we like watching your meet every year. The Unipiper is my favorite thing in the world. I wish you lived a little closer to Raleigh. But, yeah, talk a little bit about the Innovation Project.
Yeah, so this is the Innovation Project. So, again, if you go back to the origins, like I talked about, you know, just getting someone to champion anything. And that's it works for both sides. Like, the meet, you know, we find somebody that's interested in a particular race and wants to champion it, you know, it benefits the meet. But also, you know, gives them, they would either have to build an entire meet to pull off their master's mile, for example, or, or they bring it to us but, you know, they do it under our umbrella. They get an audience. They get all the resources that we have, and they get their thing and just try their idea. So this is sort of the same thing. Like, what else is out there that we can find somebody to champion that they could bring to the meet that would bring a benefit to not only our meet, but maybe a broader to the sport. And so we had no ideas what we would come up with. Paige helped craft this idea. It was sort of built on her experience with your internship program. She just enjoyed that. We talked about how we might incorporate an added layer of input, and it came and turned into this Innovation Project. So the call was put out in January that we would take any ideas and sponsor, provide a stipend for the ideas, any ideas, at least one, maybe more, that just sort of piqued our interest about bringing something to the sport. We put no boundaries on it whatsoever. So, we've got the post-run polo that you guys are going to bring. We're excited about that. You know, we had another idea about fashion, another input, another proposal about fashion. Other ideas were technological. So one of the ones we selected was a group in Portland that puts together, you know, runs a camera, pretty much a overhead camera that they bring to different sports. It's an economical version of the things you might see at an NFL game, where you can get the camera right over the play. That's what they can do with their cameras. So they're going to work with FlowTrack and bring that to the meet. We'll see that for the first time this weekend. And then another one was a local running brand, Miles and Thread, led by Derek Scott. He is collaborating with a group in New York called Take the Bridge, and they're putting on a race next Tuesday, I believe it is. And that's harnessing kind of a newer kind of outlook on the sport, which is about the, I don't really know what that entirely embodies. It's sort of an East Coast New York view of a running training group. And it adds this culture to it that's new. I don't know. Again, I don't, it's not here yet. Derek's brand sort of embraces that, but it's it's an alternative to the typical club system. And so we'll see what kind of race that turns into. It's a street race without the structure of a track meet. But again, it's touching on a portion of the sport that maybe the traditional track meet doesn't get to. And that's one of our interests. One of my interests in particular is, we know we're all excited about elite races and sort of the path from the beginning of the sport to the Olympics. What are some other ways that we can portray the sport? What are the other aspects of the sport? One of my favorite parts about our meet is the pop-up shop, which is a thing that never shows up on the broadcast, but it's visitors to the sport or visitors to the meet. We collect things that are interesting. That's how we got to meet Miles and Threads, Derek Scott's group. It's a running brand that's just about track culture, not even performance gear, but just the culture of the sport. We bring in vintage items. We bring in books. You know, how many kids have never even seen, reading Running with the Buffaloes? Like, you know, everyone's read that book. But, you know, if you're a kid browsing your local Barnes & Noble, you might not come across that book. So we bring all of these things that we can find and to the meet and, you know, just try to inspire kids and get them in front of stuff, get them in front of gear, get them in front of fans or athletes, and try to make new fans.
Sure. Everything you're saying is certainly what we believe. We know. We all talk about this a lot, seeing particularly that, you know, if you're a runner or you're a meet, you have pretty much two options. You can be the best. You can be the Olympics or, like, you know, Prefontaine Classic, or you can be relevant. If you're a runner, you could be the best. You could be a Galen Rupp type, or you can be super, super engaging. And I know that where we might lack on the funds and things along those lines, we certainly are trying to engage our patrons per se. So it's really fun talking about that. But getting back to the actual racing, we've talked about a lot of fun, creative ideas, but you guys have some serious races going on there this weekend. So what are a few things you're excited about? I know you guys have a lot of big athletes coming in, but what rings the Craig Rice band?
I think the, you know, two of the races that look really good are the women's 800. We've got Kate Grace coming back to lower her meet record. She first came to the meet in about 2014. I think 15, she ran, famously ran in a t-shirt. She's got the Packers singlet. So, just ran in a Wazelle, singlet or t-shirt at the time. But anyway, she's back. And we've got a deep field, Georgia Griffith, from, Australia. Alexa Efremson is a local. She would be in NCAA competition if this was, but she, went pro right out of high school. So she's, she's back. Jenna Westaway, Annie LeBlanc. So that women's 800 looks really good. And then men's 1500, we've got Centro. We've got Craig Engels, Lopez Lamong, Clayton Murphy.
Wow.
So we've got a lot of representation from Oregon Project this year. So that's going to be real good. And then Jenkins, I think Jenkins is going to be running the 5,000. He's I'm not sure he's declared it. He's registered in both. I think he's going to declare for the 5,000. Mariel Hall's in the women's 5,000, looking to possibly get close to that 15 barrier. She's right at 15:06 previously. And we've got, just a lot of deep fields. This is our biggest meet in history. This is the chance year, of course. We were a little fearful that it would be, a down year, but it looks like it's going to be an up year. We've got biggest numbers in every single race, and overall, I think we're going to be over 800 athletes. And then at the very top, we've got the elite, the elite races, the Centros, the Cake races. Those are the ones. It's interesting, when you build a meet. Just to see what happens when you add that extra layer at the very top. When you announce Central's name, it really changes the turnout locally, interest nationally. With the resources we can, we build the best meet we can until if you envision it as a big pyramid, we can stack the pyramid pretty high, but the Centros and those are at the very top. Those come in. If it looks like the right formula for them, they come in and it really gets people excited.
We're going to anxiously be watching here from the East Coast, cheering you guys on, staying up late, I suspect. Pat's going to host some people, so we're looking forward to partying at his house. Craig, I got one more question for you. I know this year, specifically, y'all kind of have a new spokesman, if you will, who I think you've brought on to your core team your board of directors and has done some content for you. Can you talk about Andrew Weeding coming on? I know that's been pretty cool how that came about and what his role will be.
Yeah, so Andrew Weeding and Jeff Merrill are putting together, I've been filming these Tracklandias, and they've expressly, we can consider that an innovation project as well. That's mostly their focus. Yeah, they came to the group. There was, you know, Andrew Whitty moved to town, and Jeff works out at Nike. So I think, you know, they had a little bit of an interest in that. I think Andrew was doing films with Russell Brown 4 or 5 years ago while they were both training Eugene. And yeah, so it's been an interest of his, and brought it to Portland Track, and said, here's what we want to do. And their interest specifically is creating the storylines and getting people familiar with the athletes. So if you've seen any episodes, you know, they have fun. They want to create the storyline. They want to introduce you to the personality of Emily Infeld, or you know, the athletes that they have on there, and get you just interested in the person. Because if you only see Emily Infeld race at Nationals 1 year, you know, once a year, she goes to Europe, maybe you see her at the Olympics or World Championships, you don't get access to her personality. She's a very interesting, very funny person. And so that's expressly their interest, is getting the fan base to understand who these athletes really are, so you can get interested. It's easier in a ball sport. You know, you get to see a lot more interviews and those sorts of appearances. So where you might, you just might not get that with track athletes. So that's their goal, and you know, they're accomplishing it. It's really accessible and funny, and it's great to see the R athletes having fun on screen. And because you know, when we see them in competing, you know what that looks like. You know, they're serious beforehand. They run the race, and maybe the post-race interview, you get a nugget or two. But, yeah, just sit down and do a spelling bee, or talk about your mom's cooking and how you grew up and your rivalry with your sisters. Like, that kind of stuff's really interesting. So that's what they're off to, and it's been fun to watch it. Yeah, it's been a good addition to what we do. It also brings more of a year-round kind of visibility for us. So if we're just putting on a meet once or twice a year, and you come out to the event, you get to see Portland Track in that view. And then, but if you can come to a filming of Tracklandia every month or 6 weeks, then again, it puts us in front of our group, our fan base, a little more frequently. So that brings us that benefit as well.
Sure, and I guess that's what it's all about too. Is, you know, for us too, as race directors, it is fun to kind of stay somewhat relevant. I know right now you're super into getting ready to do the race, and Sandy and I are super excited to watch it. But then when this race is over, you'll get to enjoy it for a little while too, and then it's back to work, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Craig, thanks for talking to Sandy and I. We are really excited to watch the Portland Track Fest this weekend. We're excited for you to get the first edition of these post-run polos in hand. Thank you for allowing Sandy and I to do this. We've had a lot of fun with this project and are looking to expand on it with, of course, some input from your excellent daughter and intern, Paige Rice.
Paige Rice, yes.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for participating in the innovation project. And we've learned a lot from what you guys do, and from what all the other our meets, kind of our sphere of meets do. So we learn from each other, and happy that we could actually directly collaborate on this particular project. So thanks for that. Watch the finish line. Post-race poll will definitely, we'll hand them out to winners, but we'll also be holding the finish line with a pair of post-race polos at some point during the meet. So watch the ends of the tape for the shirt.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Craig. Thanks for stopping by again, the Summer of Miles, and we will talk to you after the meet. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's hit one more place before we go home. Let's go in when it's dark.
Wow, what a guy. Mr. Craig Rice right there. So much fun hearing about the Portland Track Festival. If you have time, watch that this weekend. I know it's kind of late, but some of y'all are millennials. How do you say that?
Yeah, millennials. That's,
yeah,
right.
Y'all stay up late anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Portland Track Festival is, we love following them, gotten some ideas, obviously collaborating, of course, with the Innovation Project. It's fun to have folks who kind of are in the same wavelength and think about track in the same realm and get excited about some of the same things. So best of luck, and we know it's going to be an awesome weekend out at the Portland Track Festival. We have some local runners going out there, so best of luck to them. We'll be following you closely, and obviously We're excited just to be a part. Pat, you know, we talked about, obviously with Craig, about this post-run polo. Why is Sir Walter, I'm just going to go there, why is Sir Walter getting into the apparel industry?
I mean, why not, right? Why do you do anything?
Absolutely. Because you think you do it better someone else.
I guess. I think for us, doing fun, creative things in different areas is what makes us excited. And the idea, I know I am a sweaty dude. And when I finish a run, I've got to strip off that singlet and put something on. And the idea behind this was kind of that. I know North Carolina summers are hot, and you don't want to be the guy or gal wearing a sweaty singlet, sitting at the picnic table at State of Beer, just stinking it up. Put on a post-run polo. Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, adding fashion to what a lot of times ends up being a very sweaty occasion. And that's what we're trying to do. And, it's been fun to kind of start from the ground up, actually, you know, literally driving out to Morganton, which at one point was kind of the home of textiles in North Carolina. Obviously has been more of a depressed industry just because of things going overseas. But walking into a room full of cotton, what are those things called? Spinning wheel, like a
sewing machines.
Yeah. See, that's I'm a millennial. You don't hold it against me. Shirts just show up in my dresser. But you know, it's one of those things where it's just fun to kind of see the process. And having talked with of course, some of our folks that we know here locally, even some folks that we know out in Portland who are working with some big time companies, it's been fun to just get opinions and kind of dip our toes into something that we're not as familiar with when it comes to the industry and health and some of the more technical, specs. But it's been fun to think we have an idea and let's see if we can't execute. And of course, teaming up with the Portland Track Festival with the Innovation Project has given us the means. And so we're excited for not only starting there, but also where we're heading with kind of this new brand of post-run.
For sure, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you stuck around to the end of this episode, send an email to postrunbiz@gmail.com. First one or two of y'all, we will give you a post-run t-shirt that we are going to be making. We are going to have a few different post-run polos. Of course, we'll have one for Sir Walter. We'll have, you know, one or two other designs, and we hope you dig it. If you look on our website or just go to postrun.biz, it'll direct you to the Sir Walter site with a little bit more info on here. And we will have a Twitter and a Instagram account, just postrunbiz, B-I-Z, where we'll be throwing some pictures on there that Mr. Jason Honeycutt took with some local models, a.k.a. people that were at the Pop-Up Miles on Tuesday and people that go to the trophy run.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, you're going to be in for it, and we're excited to unveil the shirt. And once we do, we expect to be seeing them at post-run celebrations locally and nationally.
It's a great polo to wear with your boiling shorts. I've been told by the guys at Runology, Brett and Alex told me, the new edition are coming out June 22nd. So if you don't have a pair of those, go get on those. There's another thing, speaking of Runology, we can talk about too real briefly here, Sandy. Did we collaborate with them on something fashion related?
We sure did. And it took me a second to register. But once it did, it popped. Because if you have been, listen, let's be honest. Most of us have been on a run and we realize, my goodness, it is way too sunny. And then we realize I'm not going to go spend $100+ on a pair of sunglasses to probably lose first and foremost, or secondly get nice and salty after all those sweaty runs in the summer. Man, I'd love to buy one that's polarized, that if it did break, I wouldn't be losing the bank. And I think that there is a company that is going to fit this, and that's Goodr.
Goodr, G-O-O-D-R. They are baller. I already have the Always Be Closing model because that's what I got to have mentality-wise working in the mortgage business. Thinking about moving to Raleigh, let me help you out. And MLS.
And as a realtor, you obviously, let me help you out on the first thing, getting you into home, but we got to use Pat too.
But stay tuned to our site and to Runology's site for the pre-order. These are going to be popping up soon. Another thing we got going as we close up this episode, all the good stuff comes at the end. We are partnering with Wicked Weed again to do another custom beer for Sir Walter weekend. How about that, Sandy?
Our partnerships just keep growing and keep getting more exciting. Who knows going to be next? Maybe it's you. Maybe you're listening, you're thinking, can we partner with Sir Walter? Possibly. Reach out.
Partner, the key. We love free stuff like everybody. I mean, if I had a piece of pizza in my hand right now that was not paid for, that would be killer. But we're doing this beer with them. This beer is going to be called Run for El Dorado. Ooh. Do you know what that means?
Well, I do know that there was a man by the name of Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, really?
Yep, actually named after our city named for him, and of course our race lead tied with him. I think he gave us a thumbs up. He knew centuries later he'd be involved in this. But I believe that the reason why he came to America on first and foremost was he was on the quest for this gold lined city called El Dorado. Is that correct?
You're right about that. And also, Sandy, El Dorado, or I guess just Dorado, is a hop that they make beer with. So we're going to make we told them what we want, and they're going to make a sweet beer, a Dorado focused pale ale called
Run for
El Dorado. Aren't we all running for gold?
In some form or fashion, yeah. Some of us may not actually get true gold, but this beer is something you can get a hold of. We'll unveil actually time and place of when this might be coming out, obviously around the Sir Walter Mahler week or weekend, but I suspect that you'll be able to get your hands on it maybe a little bit more than the summer of Miles Pale from last summer.
For sure. Y'all drank that too fast, so we're going to make this a little bit more available. All right, I'm thirsty already, so let's go ahead and sign off, Sandy. We got things to do.
There's no question. I think I got a LaCroix. Polar. I'm into Polars now, actually.
They're pretty good.
They are good.
Harris Teeter's got this. If y'all want to sponsor us, we will point you to the Polar Mango.
By the way, Tribucha, we're still waiting.
We're thirsty.
Absolutely.
We need our gut worked on.
And friends, while you stay thirsty, always remember to come back and get your weekly episode of Summer of Miles. I'm excited, as always, to be here with Pat Price. I'm Sandy Roberts.
Thanks, guys. We will see you Tuesday at the Pop-Up Miles at Ravenscroft, and then Friday on Centennial Parkway. Get all you need, summerofmiles.com, sirwalterrunning.com, sirwaltermiler.com. We'll see you on the run. Good day. Summer. I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I take her if I had one wish. But she's been gone since that summer. Hip hop mama, they spick and span. Met you one summer and it all began.